May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. As you trust in Him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. As you trust in Him. So that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
So good morning, everyone. Makes it sound like a crowd. Great to see you. Hope you managed to keep cool this morning. Not easy when you've got masks on, but we're trying to adhere to that. But you are allowed to sing. But we haven't gone to the keyboard. I've kept to recordings because it will boost the sound a little bit. So I hope that you'll enjoy and manage to participate in that. Just to mention that Saturday morning we have our, I think, our last but one coffee morning for those who are able to come along and maybe bring a friend, and hopefully you can sit outside and enjoy the sunshine. And then we have our service next week as usual. And for other details from there onwards, just keep an eye on the mail that you get each week. So we're thinking of the last particular subject in this series, called to be God's people, and it's a call to hope. And I'd like to read some verses from Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, just to see what God said about the people that He had chosen to be His people, namely the children of Israel. He says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be His people, His treasured possession. The Lord did not set His affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath He swore to your forefathers that He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love Him and keep His commands." Although those verses were written to people so long time ago, they are suggestive of thoughts that we can still have of understanding how God loves us and has chosen us to be His people and to serve Him in our lives. I think we'll sing our first hymn, which you've heard a snatch of already. So if you'd like to stand and get your voices ready, and we'll sing Praise
to Him. Is a Jesus God, own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One.
Thank you, oh my God.
Thank you. Your Son.
Include a welcome to all those who will be listening to the service over the weekend, and hope that you will be able to enjoy singing once again, even at home, and make the most of praising our God. We say these words together in white. The Lord be with you, and also with you. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. As God's people, we have gathered to worship Him together. Now we say the prayer of preparation, and we'll say this together. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from sin and turn to the Lord, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forget what we have been, forgive us, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now Ruth's going to come and bring the reading to us from Romans chapter 15.
I'm reading from the New International Version and from Romans 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbour for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves, as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you amongst the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you people. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. So we've thought about the subject of hope probably many times in the past, but there are still plenty to learn about what God says in his word. If you spoke to anyone that you know or meet and ask them what they are hoping for, I wonder what their answer would likely to be. Hope for someone that they know to get well again and to recover from their illness. Hope for protection over their family regarding any who are being abused. Hope for peace in the world. Hope for relief for those caught up in disasters. Hope for the possibility of heaven to be real. Those are possibly just some of the things that they may reply as regards the things that they hope for. See, hope is one of the motivators that keeps us going in life. In biblical terms, hope is not maybe hope. Hope is certain hope. And that's the difference. The list that I read to you were maybe hope, because we just don't know. But the things that God says and has recorded are certain hope, because God has said it and God's word is true. There was a Swiss theologian who said, what oxygen is to the lungs, such is hope for the meaning of life. What oxygen is to the lungs, such is hope for the meaning of life. And there was a Sri Lankan theologian who said, hope is the unshakable certainty in the realization of the promises of God in Jesus Christ, based on his life, death, and resurrection. That's the foundation of our true and real hope in Christ. And so just looking at this section of God's word in chapter 15, I've split it up into three sections. Because the first four verses almost follow on from the previous chapter. So we're thinking of that as support to everyone. And then verses 5 to 11, we learn about the unity of believers. And then verses 12 and 13, we have the hope for believers. So support, unity, and hope. Let's think of support, first of all. Paul talks here about the need for the strong to support the weak. As we saw in the life of Jesus, he supported the weak. They needed his power and his love. And we need to do that to please and to support our neighbours. Not the people that live either side of us alone, but anyone in whom we come in contact with. Those around us. We need to please them in the way that we speak and the way that we live. And Paul says here in those first verses, encouragement and endurance through the scriptures brings hope. Where else do we get our hope from as Christians apart from God's word and from his promises? And we see throughout the Old Testament that he made many promises to his people, and he answered those promises. He kept his word, although the people didn't keep their word. And God can be trusted. There's a little book in the New Testament, just takes up one page, called Philemon. And in this story, we read about a servant called Onesimus, who was the servant of Philemon. And he was a friend of Paul, who had been put in prison for his preaching. And Paul helped this young man in prison, because he too had been put there because he had taken things from his master. And he found this young man to become an encouragement. And as a result, he, Paul, promised to pay the debt for what this young servant boy had cost his master. And then we read these words. He thanked also Philemon and the Christian church for their prayers that he would soon be released. That's hope in God, isn't it? Sounds as if he really believed that God was going to answer their prayers and his prayer, that he would be released. So there was support and there was care. There was love shared among them. And in that situation, the whole thing was helped. And God blessed each of those people. In Acts chapter 4, we read these words. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything that they had. Now that's quite a strong statement and something that's very hard perhaps to carry out. On the other hand, we know that everything we have is not really ours. It's what God has allowed us to have, or God has given to us. And that's why we are suggested to share these things when the need arises. The Christians shared their possessions. So we see then in these verses how that we're to help the weak and the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves, not to be selfish. Secondly, we're looking at the section about unity. In the previous chapter, there is this continuing desire of Paul's to bring Jewish believers and Gentiles to come together in unity. You see, a lot of the Jewish people at the time had turned over to the Christian faith because they believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. And so in the churches that were being formed, we have Jews who became Christians, and we have Gentiles who became Christians. And that was a very hard mix, because the background was very, very different. Just imagine being brought up under the law as a Jew. Very restrictive, very careful, very precise. Knowing that you had to do that to please God. And then you came into the comparative power and freedom of the Christian church, where these things are more spiritual and not physical. Still obeying God, still loving his law and obeying his commands, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do that. And that was the difference. And there's another small book in the Bible, the Book of Ruth, which you may have read sometime or other. And she had a mother-in-law called Naomi. And Naomi had a husband called Elimelech. And they moved from their home country of Judah to Moab. And there her two sons married two Moabitess women. Then first Elimelech, her husband, died. And then the two husbands died. And Naomi was left in what was really a foreign land with two Moabitess daughters-in-law. And she said, I think you ought to go off and make your own lives and do what you can to find another husband. And I'm going to go back to Judah, to Bethlehem. And the one daughter-in-law said, right, and off she went and said goodbye, and all was done. But Ruth didn't want to leave her mother-in-law. She wanted to stay with her in the land of Moab. And so the story unfolds, and eventually we find that Naomi encourages Ruth to go and find work, albeit slavish. And she had a distant relation living in that area called Boaz. And he was a landowner, and there was the harvest time going on, and many people were working in the fields. And he gave her a job to help with collecting some of the corn and the wheat. And Naomi heard about this and said to her daughter, basically, she said, I think you want to become friendly with Boaz. I believe he's the right person for you. And in the story, we find that eventually they come together and they become married. And that was quite a big thing for her, because we have a mixed marriage of a Jewish man and a Moabitess woman. But they believed that that was God's will. And I believe it was, because if you look through the genealogies, you will find that through Ruth and Boaz, They are in the royal line of David, from which we have Joseph and Mary. The royal line of David. So it was right in God's eyes that these two should come together and become one. It was in his plans. And that's an incredible unity, where God overcomes the differences and the people overcome their differences because of their love and their understanding. And that's what unity is all about. Pursuing unity carries out the purposes of God. Someone else once wrote a statement, as many people do, which you just have to think about for a minute. He said, if we love a political dogma or doctrine more than we love people, we will end up killing each other. And you think about that. And you think about the world in which we live. And it's because of those who have political dogmas or agendas and certain doctrines that they are prepared to fight for and to kill for, that we have the world as it is. Unity. We have that problem even today, as we know from listening to the news. Unity, a very difficult thing to actually find to happen. Now let's think about hope itself. In these verses we read at the end of our reading, we read of God's promise there, promise of future hope and peace. And it says that from the prophet Isaiah, these words are recorded by Paul, the root of Jesse will spring up. Remember, Jesse was the son, father of David, and David became king, and through him we have the royal line of genealogy. So they were in the same line as Ruth and Boaz, again in the plan and the purposes of God. And because these things came to pass, it says that one who will arise to rule over the Gentiles, they will have hope in him. And of course that is referring on into the future to the time when Christ came into this world. And in him we have the basis for our hope and for our understanding of God and all that he has done for us. And just as I read to you from Deuteronomy at the beginning, God fulfilled his promise by giving them the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel. And although the people eventually moved away from God and had their own ideas on how to live, still God kept his promise to them. Just like to share with you three references from the Bible which just help to give us a glimpse about this hope. It says here in Thessalonians, Christ died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. That's referring, as we know in the Bible, we're either dead or alive. Death being that figurative way of being spoken of as being asleep. We may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And if we read the other verses in connection with this passage, we would see the talk about the resurrection and the belief that one day we shall go to be with Christ. Then we have this one in Colossians. God gave me, that's Paul, to present to you the word of God in its fullness. To them God has chosen to make them known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not a maybe hope, but a certain hope, a definite hope, and a definite promise that God has given, that if we have trusted in his Son, believing him to be Christ, the Son of God, who died for us and was raised for us, then that hope is genuine and real. And having hope for the future takes away all fear. And that's the purpose of God's word, to remove all fear. God's word remains fixed, and so do his promises. I'm sure we get fed up sometimes of reading our papers or watching or listening to the news, as it's all doom and gloom. And when you think about it, we, that's the sense of the world, the people on it, we've pushed God away from our thoughts and our lives, and consequently, we have made a complete mess of this world. And now, we believe that we can put everything right again. We have to believe that God ultimately is in control of his world and will not let mankind destroy it. That is in God's hands. He is the one who has promised he will bring about a new heavens and a new earth. And that's in God's time and in God's power. So you see, we as believers have a great God and a real hope that is eternal. It's been promised and it will be fulfilled. And although we worry about the way we may die, we should not have to worry about death itself, because we have our hope in Christ. And even Job, as we read in his book, which was one of the first books ever written, even before Genesis and Exodus, Job said these words, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he, God, will stand upon the earth." So he believed in the resurrection, even way back in those times. Such was his faith in God. So hope is what we hold on to. Hope that is not understood in our world. Hope which is wished for, but lost upon many. And it's our job to share what we have and what we know, and to give support and to bring about unity in order that other people may enjoy that same hope that you and I have already. Amen. We've now got another song. I'm not sure if it's rather high to sing. You might like to put it down in a lower pitch. But it's an old one, and I'm sure that you'll notice it. But I think it's relevant to what we've been thinking about this morning. Sorry. I should have gone on to those. Thank you. actually repeated because it's a short one. I'd like to take your seats, and now Angela's going to bring us our intercessions. Thank you.
Let us pray. As Paul writes in the letter to the Romans, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. So let us give thanks for all those who've worked through the centuries to bring us that word, for the variety of translations we now have to hand, and for apps and other digital media bringing the word alive to new generations. We pray for the work of the Bible Society, recently celebrating the completion of an Albanian Bible after 20 years of work, and for the first sign language Bible in America. We pray too for their work beyond the linguistic process, to help people relate the words of the Bible to ordinary life and to see its relevance in contemporary issues. We remember the work with children in schools opening the book and give thanks that many groups have found imaginative ways to take this forward during the pandemic. Lord, we pray too for new Christians as they discover the hope we have in Jesus, particularly those who've recently finished an Alpha course, that they might be diligent in their reading of your word and grow in faith as a result. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Advent was a time of great hope in this parish as we wore our Hope in the Darkness badges and listened to the stories of those who'd put their trust in you, Lord, through the most difficult of times. Help us all to cling on to that steadfast hope that gives us courage and patience, whatever hardships we encounter. Help us to build up a common life of praise and worship in this place, that we will be a beacon of light to our community. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Not all put their trust in you, Lord. Let us remember those who turn to the bottle or illegal substances as their rock, only to find sand. We pray for those who support them on limited budgets, for the police increasingly acting as social workers, but having to make arrests for the sake of society in general. We pray for the A&E departments who often feel they're using a sticking plaster to cover the wounds of addiction while putting their own safety at risk. We pray for the addicts themselves, that they will recognise they need help and programmes will be available that are consistent and reliable. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who've committed crimes and have received jail sentences, many of whom feel helpless and without hope. We pray for staff working in these institutions, walking a tightrope between keeping the prisoners safe, providing education and training, and dealing with people that the majority of society have rejected. We pray for prisoners' families, often separated from the incarcerated by long distances, and for the children suffering for the wrongdoings of their parents, but innocent themselves. We pray that ways might be found to improve an antiquated and out-of-date service that would keep the public safe while decreasing reoffending and offering new hope to all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we experience another extreme weather episode, we pray for all those who work to understand climate change. We know this is a global problem, so we pray for continuing cooperation between governments and generous aid for those most affected. We remember those who suffered the catastrophic flooding in Germany, Denmark and Belgium recently, for the bereaved there, and those who lost homes and livelihoods in this disaster. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. At home, we pray for all who are sick with the virus, for those self-isolating, for businesses struggling to find staff, and for those in financial difficulties because of the pandemic. We pray for clear decisions from government to manage these situations that will enable us as individuals to make informed decisions as to how we should act. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Angela. That just really brought out the verses that we've been thinking of this morning. So shall we say the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We'll sing our final hymn, which is a song that lifts us up because it's about God and his greatness. So let's make the most of these lovely words.
My soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. That God, his son not sparing, sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on a cross my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul,
difficult to sing a soloist than to sing with them, because they have their own idea of rhythm and time. But it sounded nice. Praise to our God. So may God give to us and to all those we love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy, in this world and the next, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us now and always. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you for coming, and hope that you've been stirred by some of the scriptures that we have thought about this morning. Amen.